from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I was going to say, you said 7 o'clock.
Yeah, I'll get it up in a minute.
Will you?
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. It's a weird day at the Radio Ranch today, kids.
It's a weird day in the world.
It's a weird day in America. You're not wrong.
I'm guessing it's worldwide. Is it just America-wide?
I don't know the answer to that, to tell you the truth. I don't know the answer to that. I think that I know there's issues at airports everywhere. Those seem to be starting to resolve themselves. I have to imagine that the folks that are in charge of this, the people that are in charge of this, as far as I know, I'm sure are like trying to get the big important stuff out of the way first. Like, let's get the airports working again. Let's make sure that security nets are working.
Yeah, so planes can take off and, you know, land and stuff like that. That's probably a good idea.
Yeah, kind of a big deal. So we don't know what's going on. We're basically at this point just like, our station works, and that's all we care about.
I know of one other show that's on the air, but I don't think they have commercials, but that's fine. So it looks like the two talk programs in the building are working. The music programs, I don't know. Well, I guess they're just playing music. Duh.
Yeah.
I guess that's what they're doing with no talking. So.
I do
agree with you. We should invite, you know, the Rise guys down here to just jump on the air with
us. I told Nine and Matt Man both, come on down. Sit in on this show. They love radio. We got plenty of, we got plenty of mics. We can make it work. We got enough microphones. I invited them. We'll see if they kick the door open at some point.
Come on. You wouldn't need it.
No, I'd be like, no, I'm good, bro.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Like, hey, I'm only working on my show today.
Oh, man.
As I sat in the office and played video games.
Yeah. Yeah. That, for the record, I set it up as, oh, I'd, you know, if we didn't have to do a show, I'd take a whole day just grinding away at the desk. The reality is, Zoe and I would be playing Xbox on the TV in the Nerd Cave until 10 a.m., and then we'd be like, all right, well, I guess we got to work now. We got no more excuses. I would do it under the guise of, well, I don't want to start any projects because, you know, if everything works itself out and we got to jump on the air, I don't want to be in the middle of something, so I'll just hang out. And what I really mean is, we have Halo.
What we would have done is we would be ready in the studio. We would have just brought the game in here.
That's also true.
Because they've
got a big TV back
here. Yeah, it would look good up there. We could even go split screen, and it wouldn't be that bad on that TV.
Old school style. Old school guy. All right, we got a lot to get to on the radio program this morning, but it is 7:03 and 44 seconds. So you've got like 56 minutes and 13 seconds before you've got to get to the office, before you've got to get to work, before you've got to try to log into work and hope you don't get blue screen of death, as so many have around the country. But if you don't, if you can't, it's good news for you. Good news for you is plenty of time to talk sports. Bad news is it's a real slow day in sports. But the good news is you will have time to talk about it, and that's why we do this.
We'll see. A lot of people ask what in the world of sports is going on this morning.
Regularly.
Oh, nothing like me being stuck on 385 as they picked the signs up and look down and my phone's ringing and it's the boss. I'm like, oh, crap. Either Rob's calling in today. I hope he's not dead. I hope. come on. Those things all go through your mind.
For the record, I've made it to this point in my life and not died yet. So I feel like I got another 4 or 5 good years in me.
I don't know. The rail slide. I mean, you could have been gone for a second. We don't know. But anyway. And the teeth. You could have been gone for a second. Listen. We don't know. You're here now, though. So. It's got to be a major thing for the boss to be calling me at 5 o'clock, and the first thing he says,
"I'd say disqualified."
Are you in the studio? No, I'm sitting on 385 because it's stupid. But anyway,
only to then get there to be told for 45 minutes you guys can't go on the air, and then get told 5 minutes before we go on the air, "Hey, you can go on the air."
But we did it, and
we did it,
and we're here, and we're doing an amazing show. Something that other people in the building can't do right now. So.
And for those of you that are asking, I will put the stream up soon at some point. But I didn't start it because even though they said you can go on the air, we were also kind of like, all right, let's let the kinks work out. Like, let's make sure.
You know what we could have done? We could have just did the entire show on stream if we wanted to.
Yeah.
We could have did that.
Yeah, but I didn't want to.
Okay.
It's not that I don't love you, sure. I don't know why I'm doing it to the camera like they can see me.
By the way, shout out really quick to, it was at Culver's yesterday, and I said I wouldn't say it because he gave you some flowers also.
Yeah.
But he walked over, he's like, Lonzo? Like, yeah. He's like, I just want you to know that I love your show, and I'm waiting for him to say which one. And then, you know, because that, I got it like that. So
sure.
Then he said, you and Rob on the Rob Brown show, he said, I love that you bring the nerd to the show.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that just proves I'm a bigger nerd than you. But I think we already knew that. So, I mean, it's not. Yes, I'm a bigger nerd than you.
I would agree with that.
I mean, in size.
I thought about it for a second. And I wanted to be offended, but you're right.
I mean, figuratively, you know, soulfully, I don't know, whatever. But shout out to him.
Soulfully.
Yes. I mean, because nerd's in your soul, man. It's not just It's not just in your brain. It's down in there. I mean, you can have nerd in your heart, but if you're nerd, a soulful nerd, as I am, you know, it's kind of like being a sports guy. But anyway, thank you for coming over and not lingering, because that was cool.
And again, a reminder, if you see Lonzo in public, you may ask for a hug.
No,
he loves them.
Do not do that.
You may ask him for a big, big hug. Bear hug, like full, like maintained contact hug.
No, out of the corner of my eye, I see my wife, who was getting her tea with her hand over her mouth laughing.
I love Miss Lisa. She's the best.
How awkward it is for
me. She's the best. All right. Water cooler, Chi-Chi, top 3 sports stories you need to know before you get to the office and maybe work today.
I mean, you got more time to talk about sports today, probably.
That's true. Item number one. The wind was unpredictable. The Royal Troon. Golf course. Nope.
Listen, you're getting the Scrooge McDuck in there.
Well, he was Scottish.
He was. So I was going to say, as long as you can at least get Scrooge McDuck, it's not bad.
Conditions very firm at the Royal Troon Golf Club yesterday, and it is not Scottie Scheffler or Rory McIlroy or Bryson DeChambeau on top of the leaderboard of the Open Championship. It is Daniel Brown. Daniel Brown had missed, not related. Daniel Brown had missed the cut or withdrawn in 7 of his past 8 starts on the DP World Tour. Instead, yesterday, carded birdies on two of his last three holes to post a 6-under 65. He has a one-stroke lead over Shane Lowry, the 2019 Open Championship winner, and a three-stroke lead over two-time major champion Justin Thomas. Xander Schauffele was among seven golfers who were four back at 2-under. Here's my favorite part. Brown grew up playing links golf, which is what the Open Championship at Royal Troon is. And he said, quote, "I used to hate it," end quote. Yeah, I bet you love it right now, Danny boy. Oh, Danny boy, the troon is calling. He said, as an amateur, you obviously play it all the time and you get a little bit. Yeah, well, I'm not good at this. I'm like slightly better. Ooh, we didn't get your opinion on National Anthem Girl.
It's gonna be a no for me, dog.
But did you hear National Anthem Girl?
I did not.
We're circling back around.
Was like, why would I want to subject myself to stuff that's getting such great ridicule?
I respect that.
I was on vacation.
I respect that. I'm subjecting it to you later to get your opinion.
Oh, yay.
Yeah, I know. He said, as an amateur, obviously you play it all the time and you get a little bit fed up of hitting good shots and ending up in pop bunkers sometimes, but that's the way it is. But I found since I've not really been playing too much links golf that I've enjoyed it more. I've enjoyed the challenge more and the wind more and the firm conditions. The 29-year-old, one of the most unlikely first-round leaders in major championship history. Not only is Brown making his first start in a major, he's also ranked 272nd in the official world golf ranking. I'm 293rd. So, like, that should tell you about where the guy is. Finished 61st in last week's Genesis Scottish Open. Nope, that was real bad, too. The first time.
Trying to go Australian there at the end.
I don't know. First time he played four rounds in a tournament since tying for 23rd in the Johnson Workwear Open in South Africa back on March 10th. The Englishman from Northallerton, England, has one career victory on the DP World Tour back in 2023, won that by five strokes, has not won anything else in his career, qualified for the Open by training a 20-foot putt on the last hole of a final qualifying 36-hole event at the West Lancashire Golf Club in Liverpool.
I believe it's Lancashire.
Well, I'm also not from Liverpool.
Well, yeah, but it was there's a Beatles song.
Liverpool.
The Beatles said Lancashire. Liverpool. You know, now we know how many holes. Anyway.
Where do we all live? On a yellow submarine. I think I'm better at Liverpool than I am Scottish, but not really good at either.
Yeah, I've heard better. Sorry.
Yeah, from Ringo.
From an Irish guy.
That's cheating. He's also sidelined for 7 weeks earlier this year because of a knee injury. Daniel Brown currently on the top of the Open leaderboard right now with a 6-under through round one. Although Shane Lowry is on the course today, on the course right now. Actually, I may see if we can try to find golf to put up on the TV.
Which is
here.
What I just was trying to
you
do.
You legend, you.
Yeah, and I didn't see it. I will look again.
Shane Lowry on the course right now. He is 1-under after shooting a 66 yesterday. He is now tied with Brown for the lead. Justin Thomas at 3-under. Billy Horschel. Dean I'm going to say that's Burmester. Anyway. South African at 2-under.
It's not Burmeister?
B-U-R-M-E-S-T-E-R. No I in there. Or else I would 100% call him Burmeister.
We should anyway.
2-under.
Can't hear you.
Same with Xander Schauffele, Mackenzie Hughes, Joe Dean, Alex Noren, Nikolai Højgaard, Justin Rose, and Russell Henley at 1-under. Corey Connors, Jason Day, Patrick Cantlay, Scotty Scheffler with an even through 6, a 1-under yesterday. Adam Scott, Matt Wallace, and Chris Kirk. At even, Matt Jordan. Let's see, some of the other big names in that spot. Tony Finau is at even as of right now. Patty Harrington, the Irishman, plus one over. So is Brooks Koepka. Jordan Spieth is there as well. Of course, our boy, Thunder Bear, Thorbjørn Olesen, is at 1-over T30 right now. Same with Robert McIntyre. I got to stop. I can't. I wish I could. Cam Young is 2-over on the day.
I'll forgive you on the McIntyre thing because of Drew. I mean, you know, you can't help.
Fair enough. Francesco Molinari is at 2-over on the day. John Rahm is as well. Tyrell Hatton is there. Seb Straka is at 3-over. DJ at 3 over. Matt Fitzpatrick as well. Colin Morikawa. I can do this. Adam Schenck is at 3 over. Keegan Bradley's there as well. 3 over is the cut line. As of right now, a lot of golf left to play. Those in danger of missing the cut. Hideki Matsuyama is below the cut line. So is Sam Burns. Ludvig Åberg is one below the cut line. So is Phil Mickelson at 2 over. Zach Johnson, Tommy Fleetwood, Stuart Sink, Will Zalatoris, Max Homa, Harris English. Like, the name of guys below the cut line is shocking, to be honest with you right now. Kurt Kitayama is down there. Lucas Glover, Rory McIlroy is at +7 after one. Ricky Fowler, +8. And you got to go all the way down to +10 to find Tiger Woods, who sucked yesterday. 8 over yesterday, 2 over through 8 today. So I think his quest for another major probably over. Item number 2. On the water cooler cheat sheet in an abbreviated version. Now, the University of Alabama will honor Nick Saban by naming its football playing field after him at Bryant-Denny Stadium. According to ESPN, a meeting of the Alabama System Board of Trustees scheduled for today to consider a resolution approving naming Bryant-Denny Stadium's field to Nick Saban Field. Of course, Saban retired in January, won 6 natties in 17 seasons at Alabama, as well as one at LSU. Nick Saban at home, 108-9 over that career. As the Crimson Tide's coach at the house, they won 21 in a row in Tuscaloosa before they lost to Texas in week 2 of last year. In his final 8 seasons as coach, Saban's only SEC home loss was to LSU in 2019. Of course, that was the Joe Burrow team that went on to be undefeated. So next year, when the Gamecocks travel to South Carolina, they will take on the Crimson Tide at Nick Saban Field at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Item number 3. Second half of the Major League Baseball season fires up tonight with all teams in action. We will start at 2:20 p.m. when Ryan Nelson of the Diamondbacks squares off with Justin Steele of the Chicago Cubs. The MLB leading Philadelphia Phillies will be at 6:40. They send Aaron Nola to the bump to take on Martin Perez of the Pittsburgh Pirates. The Atlanta Braves back at the house tonight. Spencer Schwellenbach will get the nod after the top 2 Braves pitchers, Chris Sale and Reynaldo Lopez, both pitched in the All-Star game. They get the day off. Schwellenbach will be up against Sonny Gray when the Cardinals take on the Bravos at 7:20 tonight, live from Truist Park. The Braves will enter the second half of the season 8.5 games behind the 62-34 Phillies. The Bravos right now at 53-42. They also have a 4-game lead on the New York Mets, who are 49-46. They get the Cardinals tonight. Again, that first pitch is at 7:20. It is the first in a 3-game set against the St. Lunatics. Second game tomorrow at 7:20. Charlie Morton on the bump. And Max Fried is expected to go Sunday afternoon against Miles Mikolas at the house. The Braves need to take 2 out of 3 against the Cardinals. Second half of MLB season starts tonight. Let's take a break. When we come back here in just a minute, I'm going to be straight up with you. We got a lot to get to, and I don't know where we're going next. Oh, we got our phone. That's right. That is right. We got a very special guest joining us next on the show. We have got the Director of Community Relations joining us next to talk a little bit about Carolina Fan Fest. That's next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number 1.
Or draft pick number
1.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
The Rob Brown Show is live right here on The Fan Upstate. And, of course, we here at Odyssey are your home for Carolina Panther football across the upstate. Every game day on our sister station, WROQ. And happy to do it. And now happy to welcome on to the show the director of community relations for the Carolina Panthers, Riley Fields, joins us here on the show. Good morning, Riley. I hope your world's not in chaos like the rest of the world, apparently.
Good morning, Rob. Great to spend time with you. And I would say we are laser focused and locked in here at the beginning as football season is about to get cranked up.
Yeah, man, just a touch over a month away, less than a month away from preseason football kicking off, which is the perfect time of the year to start getting fans whipped into a frenzy. And I'm going to say, Riley, I want to talk about Fan Fest coming up down at Clemson. We'll be there doing a live show, and we'll get into all that in a minute. But I do want to say this, man, and I've said this on this show, I've said it in public, this is the most optimistic, excited I have been about Panther football in a while. I have enjoyed seeing Dave Canales develop as a head coach. I've enjoyed seeing Dan Morgan develop as a GM. Like, is there a sense of optimism around this team like I think there is as a sports guy?
Yeah, I think your sense of optimism is well-founded. The energy, the pace, the enthusiasm that is in this building, which is being set by Coach Canales, Dan Morgan, it's palpable. You can feel it. It's real. And, you know, for something that's sort of ethereal or intangible like energy, it's here and we feel it. And I think collectively in the building, we all share that same sense of enthusiasm and excitement for the way the team is going to is getting prepared and is going to perform this season.
Can you talk to me a little bit about what is the attitude around the building, around HQ, around the staff, the non-football staff? Because, you know, we're watching, obviously, through the draft, into the free agency deadline. We're starting to see players, Xavier Leggett, who has become one of the best characters in the NFL to me. Like, there seems to be a lot of goodwill. And for a team the last couple of years that, and I say this respectfully, like, it had almost gotten down here in South Carolina to some degree a little bit apathetic. Like, it feels like people are back on board. What's the attitude for the folks in the building?
Yeah, there's juice, you know, and I think it's just the pace, the energy that Coach Canales brings every day. And I think for folks who aren't really familiar with him or haven't had the opportunity to hear him speak or hear his vision, you know, once you get exposed to that, it's hard not to be all in. And the players are all in, the staff is all in, the support staff is all in. I think, to your point, I'm ready to get my ankles taped up and go. It's exciting time.
Riley Fields is the Director of Community Relations for the Carolina Panthers, who are set for Fan Fest coming up down at Clemson. We're going to talk to you about that here in just a minute. Riley, if you don't mind, tell me a little bit about Dan Morgan, because obviously with the last GM, there was the deeper that tenure went, a little bit, again, of apathy. But when Dan Morgan got there, got named into that position, came out for that introductory press conference, it did feel like he had that same fire he had when he had as a player, when he was a player, that same intensity, that there was a take no prisoners and winning is all that matters attitude. What can you tell us about Dan Morgan as a guy?
I'm laughing when you say that, because when you get on the elevator with Dan, that intensity is just vibrating off of him. And I think, you know, what Panther fans collectively are excited about, when Dan was a player in college, he was a dude. When he was a player in the NFL, he was one of those dudes. Like, he knows what it takes. He knows the standard. You think of the great players that he's played with, and not only when he played with, he was an alpha. And so just having his leadership, his personal understanding of what it takes to put together a roster of the right kind of players to have success, I think has everybody filled with a great sense of excitement. I keep using that word, but I don't have a better one to use than that, because that just feels like the order of the day.
I love it. Riley Fields, Director of Community Relations for the Carolina Panthers, joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. And obviously, Riley, you guys want to take that excitement, that enthusiasm that's within the building and kind of extended outward to the fans. I mean, and I think this is a fan base that, if I may be frank with you, kind of needs that jump start, kind of needs that, yeah, that volt of electricity fired through it. How has it been for you guys to kind of come out into the community with a renewed sense of aggression about getting Panther fans excited about this next era of Panther football?
I think you hit on it. It's the feeling of being able to step forward and get back on the big stage, and, you know, sea levels, you know, start that climb back up the mountain to levels of success that Panthers have experienced in the not too distant past. And so when the train is moving in that direction, you know, it's the momentum creates momentum, and I think right now that's what we have. And I want to go back to your point about the upstate. You know, the upstate has always been an important part of the Panthers. I would call it connective tissue, and it's really exciting for the team this year. We haven't talked about this, but in celebration of our 30th season, to return to the roots, really the team's DNA, by bringing Fan Fest, presented by Daimler Truck North America, back to what I think is one of the true cathedrals of football, Clemson's Memorial Stadium. And just that building, the energy just that stadium has when it's just sitting there empty, when we're sitting here talking about energy, I think it's going to be really exciting for us to introduce the team, this year's team, to the upstate at FanFest here on August 1st over at Clemson.
Riley Fields, Director of Community Relations for the Carolina Panthers. Riley, I would be dishonest with you if I didn't say that the upstate was a little disappointed that camp was removed from Wofford, from Spartanburg, and pulled back up to Charlotte. It makes sense for the team. Obviously understandable. Still a disappointment for, yeah, the folks down here. So it was obviously, to me, a bit of good news, a bit refreshing to know that Carolina's going to be coming down to Clemson, still going to be interactive with the upstate. How much of a priority was it? Was this something that you guys looked and said, we want to do something down there? Like, we still need to be available down there. Let's find a spot. Like, how did this whole plan come about?
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, the upstate, the city of Spartanburg, Wofford, that's family to us. And just so many great relationships over the years. The community support, I said it earlier, the upstate is really part of our connective tissue. And so while there were reasons why it made sense to move training camp to Charlotte this year, it only seemed, you know, to celebrate and honor and recognize the support of the Upstate, taking our signature training camp event, which is our FanFest program presented by Daimler Truck North America, back to the Upstate, and going to a fantastic venue like Memorial Stadium over at Clemson, I think will really give fans a really exciting experience. And so our relationships with the Upstate, the work we do down there in the community, everything that has been built over the years, it's still there, and it's not going away for us.
We are talking to Riley Fields, Director of Community Relations for the Carolina Panthers. Talk to me, Riley, a little bit about this event, what fans can expect, what is going to be going on, obviously, besides a little bit of practice, a little bit of the players out there. Can you tell me what is this event? Aside from a live broadcast of the Rob Brown Show that afternoon, what else can the Panthers fans expect at FanFest?
Well, really, it was designed to primarily be a vehicle for your live broadcast.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Wanted to share that, but once we got, you know, we were able to work out that hurdle. You know, the day is really a terrific day for everyone, from hardcore Panthers fans to families looking for a really great experience. Certainly, getting to Clemson, great drive up into Clemson, plenty of parking. Gates will open at 5:30. Practice will begin at 6:30. But we also encourage families to come earlier that day. Our Play 60 Kids Combine, which is going to be a big setup full of fun football skills and drills related activities for kids, will open at 4:30. All kids who participate will get a free Panthers Play 60 t-shirt, which Play 60, of course, is our initiative to encourage kids to get 60 minutes of daily physical activity. We know school is right around the corner, so along with that, the first 1,000 kids through the gates will receive a free school supplies kit with all the great things that you need: markers, crayons, paper, rulers, pencils, all the big school supplies to get kids equipped for success when they go into the classroom on Friday. And then, you know, practice itself will start at 6:30. You're going to see all your favorite players up close and really, I think, get a sense of that Coach Canales energy. I think that's really what folks are going to enjoy seeing. And the evening is going to conclude with a spectacular fireworks display, which will really be cool down at Clemson, because we're going to be able to do a 360-degree show that will put fans right in the middle of what will no doubt be a really cool spectacle. For folks who want to attend, tickets are $5. All proceeds benefit Carolina Panthers Charities, which will go back to serving nonprofit agencies and communities across our region. And they're super easy to get. You can get tickets on the Panthers mobile app, or most folks are really used to going to Ticketmaster.com. That's another location, or if you have the Ticketmaster app. But again, tickets are only $5, and we're going to pack a lot into the day for all fans and families that come out to support.
I love it. I love it. Riley Fields is the Director of Community Relations for the Carolina Panthers. They are getting set for FanFest. It is going to be August 1st down at Clemson Memorial Stadium on campus at Clemson. We will be doing a live edition of the Rob Brown Show and Wire to Wire from 3 to 7 that afternoon, which will include that first half hour practice. Riley, last thing I'll say, if you need somebody to fill in for defensive end, I played like 20 years ago. I think I could probably still suit up. So if Coach Canales needs a guy to come in there in the pass rush, I'm ready.
You know, I appreciate the sentiment, but the scouting report on you is that you need immediate access to the sideline at all times.
And so, an oxygen tank, and probably an IV. You're not wrong. That's fair.
But you know, your iron will is recognized, and so we'll share your note with Coach Canales.
Clearly, your scouts are very, very good, Riley. Very, very good.
Elite.
I love it. Riley Fields is, again, the Director of Community Relations for the Carolina Panthers, getting set for FanFest August 1st down at Memorial Stadium, down at Death Valley on the campus of Clemson. Riley, my man, great to have you. Thanks for the time, big dog.
Rob, thank you. Enjoyed it.
Absolutely. Pleasure's mine. Riley Fields, Director of Community Relations for the Panthers. FanFest, August 1st. Diesel and I will be down there doing Wire to Wire / The Rob Brown Show live from 3 to 7. I'm even going to see if we can get Lonzo to come down. I'm going to see if we can get Lonzo down there, and I'm going to see if we can get Lonzo and Bryce Young on the air together live. That will be the Lane Kiffin v. Paul Feinbaum moment right there. It'd be spectacular.
I'll just look ahead and still won't see him.
I want you to know I'm very proud when Riley said, you know, we're going to let the kids come out and meet their Panthers, that you didn't drop a, you'll lose Bryce in the crowd joke there, because I was waiting for it. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show carries on. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob, the great man Lonzo, and you. I am very intrigued by what is going on around the world. It's wild, man. It's wild. All right, biggest changes coming for college football in 2024. I was going to go on like a whole rant about it, but I realized.
By the way, real quick, from my understanding, still, our commercials are the only ones working in the building.
So. Is just
well, they're still on
commercial
it.
Free for 4 hours.
I think they're on the air, but she could just be on Rumble.
I know they're on the air.
Are they?
I just don't know if they. Yeah, because we're getting text to their station as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So I know they're on the air. I just don't know if. I'll put it this way: if Tara's going 240 minutes commercial free, applause. All right.
She can do it, but she also has a little bit of help. Lee's over there.
Yeah.
She can jump in and help too.
Yeah.
But still.
All right, so there are some changes coming to college football. A comprehensive list of college football changes upcoming has been put together by Yahoo Sports. There's a handful of rule changes that you might want to go ahead and make note of as we get prepared. Obviously, we know the 12-team playoff is coming down the pipe this year. That will be the biggest change of them all. There are some other rule changes that are coming down this year. One of them is not. And I'm only bringing this up because we did get a text either yesterday or Wednesday that I did not get a chance to respond to. It came in right at the end of the show. But asking, is college football going to go to the new kickoff rule like the NFL is? And my best guess is yes. But probably not in the next 2 years. My bet would be they will let a full NFL season play out, and then they will do like one transition year where they're like, hey, last year or this, we're going to allow you a year. Because with college football being a non-professional amateur sport as it is and nothing else, obviously. They will give teams a year to adapt.
It is Friday. I mean, you're trying to goad me there. And you know.
I'm trying to goad a good half of our listening audience, if we're being honest. Probably, it's not just you.
It's probably more than half.
Yeah, it probably is. My bet is, to that texter that asked the question multiple days ago that I'm just getting to, my bet is what you're going to see is probably college football lets the NFL go to the new kickoff rule this year. Then they will do one more year of the old kickoff rule in order to give coaches time to make changes, right? It'll be 1 year where college football coaches will get to watch the NFL, watch what different teams are doing, different strategies and tactics that these NFL franchises experiment with, right? Because we had the special teams coach from the New York Jets a couple of days ago said, man, the new kickoff rules are going to be a question mark until we see them, right? Until we actually get out there and test them out a little bit. Because you can set them up in camp, but especially for the majority of players who did not come up through the UFL or XFL and already use these rules, this is new for everybody. This is new for everybody. And so for these squads and for these players, they are going to start learning what works and what doesn't for me. It's kind of like golf. You can go out of the practice range all day and you can hit 1,000 golf balls on the range. But you might think that your 7-iron is dialed in, but what happens when you get out there on the course and you hit it 3 inches into the rough and now the ball's buried halfway? It's a different swing, and you don't really know how that swing's going to work until you get out there and you hit that shot. Until you get out there and you swing and you hit the golf ball and you go, okay, well, my regular swing didn't work. I need to choke down or take a half step back or move the ball forward or backwards or whatever, right? And then you kind of got to dial in to what works for you for a shot from the rough. Because even though that might only be, for me, like 80 shots in a round, for you it may be like 6 or 7 times you got to come out of the rough, and it's a different swing, it's a different approach, it's a different style of golf. That's kind of going to be the approach for these kickoffs, right? You may think that you want to go out there with the same 10 across your kickoff team that you have in years gone by, but thought that I had. Maybe it doesn't really make sense to put, say, a heavy Mike linebacker on the outside. Maybe it makes sense to go 10 DBs and wide receivers across the kickoff team, right? Maybe next year, once NFL teams have a year of actually kicking off to actual live teams and live action, teams go, you know what? It turns out that because you can't move till the guy catches the ball, we want sprinters out there. We want guys who can close that 10 yards of gap between the kickoff team and the kickoff return team. We want guys that can close that 10 yards in 2 seconds, not 3. We want guys who can get to and engage those blockers and start cutting off holes faster than middle linebackers are able to. And that might change the strategy. Might also be the opposite way. Maybe because they don't have to run as far to get to the spot, and because you're engaging with the kickoff return team earlier than you have in years gone by, maybe that's the spot that you go, we do want bigger guys across the front. Maybe you go, let's put 2 defensive backs on both sides, and then let's have 6 middle linebackers across the middle, right? Let's put 2 speed guys to flank the kickoff return man down the sideline, and then let's put a bunch of big sturdy boys in the middle that can own a block and close the hole for inside coverage.
All right, what
you're
doing is you're almost making this interesting, and I thought it was going to be boring. I kind of want to see that.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, like, genuinely am looking at this whole situation and thinking, if I'm a special teams coach, I'm going full mad scientist in the lab about this, right? Like, I'm looking at kickoff returns and thinking, what's the best lineup of 10 guys? Do I want to go all DBs? Do I want to go all middle linebackers? Do I just want to build a wall of dudes and go, I want to put 10 guys whose entire game is get downhill, engage the block, read the ball, shed the block, make a tackle. Those guys to me might be the right play. But also, speed might be the right play. I may want guys that their whole thing is don't engage in the block. Utilize your speed and change of motion to avoid a block and get to the ball carrier. I don't know what the right method is. So I think what's going to end up happening is in the NFL regular season this year, you're going to see a lot of different approaches to kickoff coverage teams and kickoff return teams. Because that's once a team starts to settle in on, okay, this is our 10, plus the kicker is 11. Yes, I know there's 11 guys out there. 10 guys go to cover and then the kicker. Once they get to that spot, then the kickoff return teams start to adjust, right? If they're going to go 2 DBs on the outside and six middle linebackers across the middle, then I might counter with two wide receivers on the outside on coverage, like guys that, like good blocking wide receivers that can engage with these DBs faster and try to open up the flank. And then maybe I'm responding with my own set of linebackers in the middle. I'm teaching them how to block. Or maybe, Lonzo, I experiment with, what if I put one offensive lineman out there? And I go, that's the mark for the ball returner, right? I want you to turn, find the guy with a 7 starting his number, and I want you to run right at his ass and then read the blocks around him. That's our demo guy. That's our bulldozer. That's our guy we're going to have clear a spot, and then you respond to the blocks left and right to pick your poison. This is going to be interesting. I do think there's going to be a lot of experiments. I think these experiments can kind of change the way that the whole kickoff system works. And I think as far as the college game goes, I think you have 1 year where you let NFL teams kind of hit on what works and what doesn't. And then you do one more year of the old rule for the coaches to start recruiting to that, right? Because you may recruit differently. You may go, okay, you know what we want to do? We're actually going to add 3 defensive backs now. We're going to have more DBs on our kickoff team, guys that know how to shed a block and then make an open field tackle. So we're actually going to drop a linebacker, an offensive lineman, and a linebacker from our recruiting class every year and just go 3 more DBs that are here specifically to be kickoff experts, right? You give them a year to adjust. Then college football. And so we're clear because we just got a text that goes, Rob, or you just keep the old kickoff. It's not going to happen, right? When the NFL inevitably, comes back 2 years from now and they go, hey, injuries on kickoffs have dropped 14%. There's going to be a huge public pressure placed on college football to make that change as well. You don't have to like it. That's just why, put it this way. If the multi-billion dollar entity that is the National Football League felt pressured enough to make this change, college football doesn't stand a chance. They will make the change. And if they make the change, I think you're looking at 2 years down the road. But I do agree with Zoe. I think the most interesting part of all this, great one, is going to be the 3 preseason games. Watching teams, not the guys that are specifically in, but the different strategies teams experiment with on the field about what a kickoff looks like.
So I know how this is going to sound, but I'm going to say it anyway. I can't wait to see what Andy Reid does. I mean, because that's what they come up with, inventive plays, and some of which the players themselves come up with, and Andy tweaks it and approves it. And so what are they going to come up with? Because they're pretty inventive. Baltimore, fairly inventive. There's a couple teams that will probably do something unexpected with this.
I don't disagree. And again, I just gave you like 2 thoughts that I had right off the gate, right? Like changing the personnel groupings for a kickoff team. Then we're going to start to, all right, do we have when, because here's the thing, you're lined up 10 yards apart. When the ball gets kicked and the ball is caught, the kickoff return team will likely, though we'll see, because they get to experiment too, will likely retreat 10 yards, right? They'll retreat 10, turn, set up the blocks moving forward. Although you may see a team one time try, Zoe, just, hey, listen, as soon as the ball's caught, just run forward. Just go get them, right? I want you to attack just like they're attacking. Let's meet them halfway. That's 5 yards further up the field before the kickoff return man, before the ball returner is going to meet contact. That's 5 guaranteed yards added onto every return. Is that worth it? Like, if I'm the kickoff team, when the ball gets taught, what if, great one, I have the 5 on the right take off on a diagonal and the 5 on the left loop underneath them and I flip those 2 teams, right? Like I flip the 5 guys on the right and the left, and that way if there's any sort of blocking strategy on the return team, now all of a sudden the 5 guys that were over there are in front of me. What was my blocking scheme? There's so many things in play here.
This is so backyard football. Without a doubt.
But that's kind of what this is, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of what this is. You play backyard football, you got a bunch of dudes out there that more than likely most of them have never coached or like drawn up a strategy here, making it up on the fly. That's what this is, and it's wild in the NFL because most of the guys making these decisions in the NFL, they've been doing it for years, and this is the first time that I can remember where established longtime coaches are looking at something and going, I've never done this before. I got a blank slate to draw on here, and some guys are going to figure it out and some aren't. So college is coming, but I think it's 2 years down the line. Either way, we'll find out. The Andy Reid of Sports Flash is Lonzo.
I was just thinking about how much I really do love cheeseburgers. Baltimore Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson is challenging Rob Roat's legendary quarterback Troy Aikman. I don't know these legendaries. Trademark
what?
Claim. He's not legendary. Claim of the number 8. Jackson has applied for several trademarks using the number and claims Aikman's attempt to do the same would cause confusion or mistakes and deceive the public. You don't ever want to do that. The second half of the Major League Baseball season will kick off today at 2:20 when the Arizona Diamondbacks visit the Chicago Cubs. The Atlanta Braves are at home to host the Arizona Cardinals today at 7:20 with Spencer Schwellenbach squaring off with Sonny Gray. Make sure you tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for our brand new local show, Wire to Wire. Cole Bresson and Diesel get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debates, and a whole lot of fun. And it's all Wire to Wire.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
The Rob Brown Show carries on. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob, the great one, Lonzo, and you. I am very intrigued by what is going on around the world. It's wild, man. It's wild. All right, biggest changes coming for college football in 2024. I was gonna go on like a whole rant about it, but I realized.
By the way, real quick, from my understanding, still our commercials are the only ones working in the building.
So. Is just
they're still on
commercial free for 4 hours.
I think they're on the air, but she could just be on Rumble.
I know they're on the air.
Are they?
I just don't know if they. Yeah, because we're getting text to their station as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So I know they're on the air. I just don't know if. I'll put it this way: if Tara's going 240 minutes commercial free, applause. All right.
She can do it, but she also has a little bit of help. Lee's over there.
Yeah.
She can jump in and help too.
Yeah.
So, but still.
All right, so there are some changes coming to college football. A comprehensive list of college football changes upcoming has been put together by Yahoo Sports. There's a handful of rule changes that you might want to go ahead and make note of as we get prepared. Obviously, we know the 12-team playoff is coming down the pipe this year. That will be the biggest change of them all. There are some other rule changes that are coming down this year. One of them is not. And I'm only bringing this up because we did get a text either yesterday or Wednesday that I did not get a chance to respond to. It came in right at the end of the show. But asking, is college football going to go to the new kickoff rule like the NFL is? And my best guess is yes, but probably not in the next 2 years. My bet would be they will let a full NFL season play out, and then they will do like one transition year where they're like, hey, last year or this, we're going to allow you a year. Because with college football being a non-professional amateur sport as it is and nothing else, obviously, they will give teams a year to adapt.
It is Friday. You're trying to goad me there. And you know,
I'm trying to goad a good half of our listening audience, if we're being honest. Probably, it's not just you.
It's probably more than half.
Yeah, it probably is. It probably is. My bet is, to that texter that asked the question multiple days ago that I'm just getting to, my bet is what you're going to see is probably college football lets the NFL go to the new kickoff rule this year. Then they will do one more year of the old kickoff rule in order to give coaches time to make changes, right? It'll be 1 year where college football coaches will get to watch the NFL, watch what different teams are doing, different strategies and tactics that these NFL franchises experiment with, right? Because we had the special teams coach from the New York Jets a couple of days ago said, man, the new kickoff rules are gonna be a question mark until we see them, right? Until we actually get out there and test them out a little bit. Because you can set them up in camp, but especially for the majority of players who did not come up through the UFL or XFL and already use these rules, this is new for everybody. This is new for everybody. And so for these squads and for these players, they are going to start learning what works and what doesn't for me. It's kind of like golf. You can go out of the practice range all day and you can hit 1,000 golf balls on the range. But you might think that your 7-iron is dialed in, but what happens when you get out there on the course and you hit it 3 inches into the rough and now the ball's buried halfway? It's a different swing. And you don't really know how that swing's going to work until you get out there and you hit that shot. Until you get out there and you swing and you hit the golf ball and you go, okay, well, my regular swing didn't work. I need to choke down or take a half step back or move the ball forward or backwards or whatever, right? And then you kind of got to dial in to what works for you for a shot from the rough. Because even though that might only be, for me, like 80 shots in a round, for you it may be like 6 or 7 times you got to come out of the rough, and it's a different swing, it's a different approach, it's a different style of golf. That's kind of going to be the... That's kind of going to be the approach for these kickoffs, right? You may think that you want to go out there with the same 10... across your kickoff team that you have in years gone by, but thought that I had. Maybe it doesn't really make sense to put, say, a heavy Mike linebacker on the outside. Maybe it makes sense to go 10 DBs and wide receivers across the kickoff team, right? Maybe next year, once NFL teams have a year of actually kicking off to actual live teams and live action, teams go, you know what? It turns out that because you can't move till the guy catches the ball, we want sprinters out there. We want guys who can close that 10 yards of gap between the kickoff team and the kickoff return team. We want guys that can close that 10 yards in 2 seconds, not 3. We want guys who can get to and engage those blockers and start cutting off holes faster than middle linebackers are able to. and that might change the strategy. Might also be the opposite way. Maybe because they don't have to run as far to get to the spot, and because you're engaging with the kickoff return team earlier than you have in years gone by, maybe that's the spot that you go, we do want bigger guys across the front. Maybe you go, let's put two defensive backs on both sides, and then let's have six middle linebackers across the middle, right? Let's put two speed guys to flank the kickoff return man down the sideline, and then let's put a bunch of big sturdy boys in the middle that can you know, shed, that can own a block and close the hole for inside coverage.
What you're doing
guys.
Is you're almost making this interesting, and I thought it was going to be boring. I kind of want to see that.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, like, genuinely am looking at this whole situation and thinking, if I'm a special teams coach, I'm going full mad scientist in the lab about this, right? Like, I'm looking at kickoff returns and thinking, what's the best lineup of 10 guys? Do I want to go all DBs? Do I want to go all middle linebackers? Do I just want to build a wall of dudes? And go, I want to put 10 guys whose entire game is get downhill, engage the block, read the ball, shed the block, make a tackle. Those guys to me might be the right play. But also, speed might be the right play. I may want guys that their whole thing is don't engage in the block. Utilize your speed and change of motion to avoid a block and get to the ball carrier. I don't know what the right method is. So I think what's going to end up happening is in the NFL regular season this year, you're going to see a lot of different approaches to kickoff coverage teams and kickoff return teams. Because that's once a team starts to settle in on, okay, this is our 10, plus the kicker is 11. Yes, I know there's 11 guys out there. 10 guys go to cover and then the kicker. Once they get to that spot, then the kickoff return teams start to adjust, right? If they're gonna go two DBs on the outside and six middle linebackers across the middle, then I might counter with two wide receivers on the outside on coverage, like guys that like good blocking wide receivers that can engage with these DBs faster and try to open up the flank. And then maybe I'm responding with my own set of linebackers in the middle. I'm teaching them how to block, or maybe Lonzo, I experiment with, what if I put one offensive lineman out there, and I go, that's the mark for the ball returner, right? I want you to turn, find the guy with a 7 starting his number, and I want you to run right at his ass and then read the blocks around him. That's our demo guy. That's our bulldozer. That's our guy we're going to have clear a spot. And then you respond to the blocks left and right to pick your poison. This is going to be interesting. I do think there's going to be a lot of experiments. I think these experiments can kind of change the way that the whole kickoff system works. And I think as far as the college game goes, I think you have 1 year where you let NFL teams kind of hit on what works and what doesn't. And then you do one more year of the old rule for the coaches to start recruiting to that, right? Because you may recruit differently. You may go, okay, you know what we want to do? We're actually going to add 3 defensive backs now. We're going to have more DBs on our kickoff team, guys that know how to shed a block and then make an open field tackle. So we're actually going to drop a linebacker, an offensive lineman, and a linebacker from our recruiting class every year and just go 3 more DBs that are here specifically to be kickoff experts, right? You give them a year to adjust, then college football. And so we're clear because we just got a text that goes, Rob, or you just keep the old kickoff. It's not going to happen, right? When the NFL inevitably, comes back 2 years from now and they go, hey, injuries on kickoffs have dropped 14%. There's going to be a huge public pressure placed on college football to make that change as well. You don't have to like it. That's just why. Put it this way. If the multi-billion dollar entity that is the National Football League felt pressured enough to make this change, college football doesn't stand a chance. They will make the change. And if they make the change, I think you're looking at 2 years down the road. But I do agree with Zoe. I think the most interesting part of all this, great one, is going to be the three preseason games, watching teams, not the guys that are specifically in, but the different strategies teams experiment with on the field about what a kickoff looks
like. So I know how this is going to sound, but I'm going to say it anyway. I can't wait to see what Andy Reid does. I mean, because that's what they come up with, inventive plays, and some of which the players themselves come up with, and Andy tweaks it and approves it. And so what are they going to come up with? Because they're pretty inventive. Baltimore, fairly inventive. There's a couple teams that will probably do something unexpected with this.
I don't disagree. And again, I just gave you like two thoughts that I had right off the gate, right? Like changing the personnel groupings for a kickoff team. Then we're going to start to, all right, do we have when, because here's the thing. You're lined up 10 yards apart. When the ball gets kicked and the ball is caught, the kickoff return team will likely, though we'll see because they get to experiment too, will likely retreat 10 yards, right? They'll retreat 10, turn, set up the blocks moving forward. Although you may see a team one time try, Zoe, just, hey, listen, as soon as the ball's caught, just run forward. Just go get them, right? I want you to attack just like they're attacking. Let's meet them halfway. That's 5 yards further up the field before the kickoff return man, before the ball returner is going to meet contact. That's 5 guaranteed yards added onto every return. Is that worth it? Like, if I'm the kickoff team, when the ball gets caught, what if, great one, I have the 5 on the right take off on a diagonal and the 5 on the left loop underneath them and I flip those two teams, right? Like I flip the 5 guys on the right and the left, and that way if there's any sort of blocking strategy on the return team, now all of a sudden the 5 guys that were over there are in front of me. What was my blocking scheme? There's so many things at play here.
This is so backyard football. Without a doubt.
But that's kind of what this is, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of what this is. You play backyard football, you got a bunch of dudes out there that more than likely most of them have never coached or like drawn up a strategy here, making it up on the fly. That's what this is. And it's wild in the NFL because most of the guys making these decisions in the NFL, they've been doing it for years. And this is the first time that I can remember where established longtime coaches are looking at something and going, I've never done this before. I got a blank slate to draw on here. And some guys are going to figure it out and some aren't. So college is coming, but I think it's 2 years down the line. Either way, we'll find out. The Andy Reid of Sports Flash is Lonzo.
I was just thinking about how much I really do love cheeseburgers. Baltimore Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson is challenging Rob Roat's legendary quarterback Troy Aikman. I don't know these legendaries. Trademark claim. He's not legendary. Claim of the number 8. Jackson has applied for several trademarks using the number and claims Aikman's attempt to do the same would cause confusion or mistakes and deceive the public. You don't ever want to do that. The second half of the Major League Baseball season will kick off today at 2:20 when the Arizona Diamondbacks visit the Chicago Cubs. The Atlanta Braves are at home to host the Arizona Cardinals today at 7:20 with Spencer Schwellenbach squaring off with Sonny Gray. Make sure you tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for our brand new local show, Wire to Wire. Cole Bresson and Diesel get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debates, and a whole lot of fun. And it's all Wire to Wire.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.